Joining us now, he's the head coach of the national championship Oklahoma State Cowboy golf team, Alan Bratton.
Winner, winner.
Alan, welcome back into the golf shop, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. That sounds good. Maybe you could say that again.
Championship Oklahoma. No.
That never gets old, and I'm sure it won't be highlighted or in bold with italics on your resume, will it?
Well, you know, it's the first time that you guys have won in the new format with the stroke and match play, which started back in 2009. You guys had a home game, too. That must have been fun, not only from a fan perspective, kind of a little home cooking perspective, but, you know, just really didn't have to travel that much. I mean, was it an advantage for you guys a little bit?
Absolutely. Home field in any sport is always an advantage, and our goal at the start of the week put on a great championship for everybody involved, but certainly wanted to put our best foot forward. I think we did that, and our players stepped up on a big stage. Our fans stepped up on a big stage, and what made it really special for me was to be able to play in front of my family and friends. My wife, Gretchen, doesn't get to see us very often out on the road, and same with my kids. So they got to be there in the crowd, and some of the first people that I got to hug when it was all over. So Oklahoma State was on display for the world to see, and our guys delivered.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be the ultimate, to win it at home. Now, I have to imagine, though, if you had to lose, it's hard to think about this, but if you had to lose, wouldn't you rather lose someplace really sexy, you know, but away from home?
Well, fortunately, we really just talk about the things we want to happen, and that's the way it shook out. It's amazing how that works.
Is that like your swing thoughts, that you guys are always positive, everything's positive, positive, positive?
No, I think we're just real, but we know how to succeed. I've been around successful golf for a long, long time, and if you want to play good golf and you want to get where you want to go, you just keep your eyes on where you want to go.
And was it fun doing a TV show leading up to all this?
It was, and I think that really paid off for us. You know, typically our guys are not, golf isn't that well covered, and fortunately the last few years have been on TV, so if you play well enough that someone's going to pay attention, they tend to put cameras and microphones in your face. So our guys had good training in that all semester starting in January, and I really think that helped our guys out.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we've seen that hasn't paid off in some other, you know, with HBO and other teams that have had the, you know, the broadcasters come in and do the behind-the-scenes thing, and they felt like maybe it was a distraction. Did you learn something about your team, some of the players, that maybe you didn't even know by watching them interact with the cameras or even watching the show when it aired?
No, not really, but I was proud of the way they handled themselves. They were humble but confident, and that's what we expected from them, and they delivered. The only concern that I had was them actually watching themselves as leading into the championship. I didn't know how that would go, but it turned out I think that played in our favor as well, and you couldn't have wrapped it up any better.
All right, Coach, I want to ask you an interesting question, because now two of the last three national championship winners have been home teams. Oregon won back in 2016. You guys made it to the tournament, but you didn't make it into match play. So what would you say to people that are kind of going down the path of maybe we shouldn't set it up so that there's a potential for a home team, since two of the last three have won? Now, before that, it hadn't really happened. So, I mean, you're only talking about two of the last three and two since 2009 when they went to this format. What would you say about that?
I'd say we ought to keep picking venues that are a challenge, that are going to help identify the best team, and someone that really cares about putting on a great show for everybody involved. We raised $1 million to put on this championship, and I think we blew through that budget. So I believe if you talk to any of the competitors, they'd say they had a fair test of golf, a championship test of golf, and everyone around it was trying to put their best foot forward and give them a memorable experience. We had over 800 volunteers out there at the golf course. So that was our goal, was to really put a showcase on college golf, and fortunately for us, it worked out good. Our team ended up on top.
Yeah, and that showcase would have happened whether you guys were in it or not. I mean, that was, you know, this was something you guys were scheduled to host. So do you think you would have been as gracious a host if you hadn't been in it?
Absolutely. I'm sure there wouldn't have been as many fans as there were, but there still would have been more fans than we typically play on, and that's something that our sport needs. if you're playing on television, we've been fortunate the Golf Channel cares about college golf, wants to showcase our sport, and that's elevated the profile of college golf nationwide and probably worldwide. But we still need to go to venues, cities, markets that care about those sports. And college towns, it makes a lot of sense. And but you have to keep the most important element, which is the competitive test and to identify the best team. And nobody has to worry about that at Carson Creek. It's plenty test enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think the argument that I heard most, you know, vehemently screamed at, about this was that, you know, in other sports, there's home field advantage, home court advantage, but the dimensions of the field and the dimensions of the court or whatever don't change, a la Hoosiers measuring the 10 feet when they went to play in Butler Fieldhouse. But in golf, I mean, there's a huge advantage to that being a course your guys play, you know, sort of more or less day in and day out. How do you address that if somebody thought you had an unfair advantage?
They can check our record all year long, and we weren't afraid to play anybody anywhere. But fortunately, we got to play at our home golf course, and we took on all comers, and we ended up on top.
Again, we're talking with Alan Bratton, head coach of the Oklahoma State Cowboys.
The national
the
champion.
National championship winners. Your 11th title as a school, trailing only the University of Houston now, who's got 16, but none since 1985. Interestingly enough, on this show, we've actually we've kind of followed me specifically followed Peter Uihlein, and you know, I was always, when he was on the European tour, I was always giving updates on his score. This week, he's up to number 48 in the world, going to be in the U.S. Open. You guys got a bunch of Cowboys out on the PGA Tour, don't you?
We sure do. That's been a focus of our program for a long time, is to recruit the best players we can, have them bang heads together for 4 years to sharpen their skills where they can go out and make a living on the tour and sustain a career out there. And Peter is certainly one of those guys, and it's nice to see him shine on the big stage. It was nice to see he and Ricky as two Cowboys finish in the top 10 in the Memorial. And then Jordan Niebuhr, one of our more recent grads, won on the Canadian Tour. So hopefully we can keep bringing in that kind of caliber player, developing them, and enjoy watching them on the tour for a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, Coach, you've had great success getting great players, attracting them to a wonderful school. We have a lot of grandparents, parents of junior golfers and junior golfers who listen to the show. If a child, if a kid, a junior high age type of kid, is really aspiring to play Division I golf, what kind of advice do you have for them in terms of what they should be doing with their school team, playing in junior events, finding competition wherever they can? What's the best of advice you have for young golfers who aspire to maybe play Division I golf someday?
Well, the first thing I would tell them is to not specialize too early.
Thank you.
If they enjoy playing other sports, they should continue to play. You can't replace the athleticism that you can develop doing other things. I would tell them to dream big, and I would tell them to watch the best players in the world. Don't listen to people tell them what those players do. Let them use their eyes, watch them, and mimic what they see the best players in the world doing when they swing the golf club. And fortunately, right now, a lot of the best players in the world also carry themselves in a good way. So they're good role models for kids. So that's the biggest things I would tell them, and get out there. Put the PlayStations away and the Xbox and their phones. Get out there and get on the golf course. Hang out with the best player at their club and see what they can do.
All right, so let's take a look at your team. I mean, you have looking at your current roster, you have four seniors. Obviously, I think all graduating and going on to other things. A couple juniors, some sophomores. By the way, you got a couple guys from Norway. Is that a recruiting trip where you go over there and find these guys, or you find them here in the States playing and things?
We went overseas to see them. Our assistant coach now was actually the head coach at Ohio State, and when I took over the program in 2013, he called me and told me I should go see Christopher Ventura. So he was playing the European Boys Team Championship in Scotland, actually at one of the courses they're going to use for the British Amateur this summer. I watched him play. We were able to talk him into coming. And while I watched him, Victor Hovland was new to the national team in Norway. And I watched him play and liked what I saw. So we had him pegged for a couple years later. Unfortunately, Christopher was enjoying his experience here and developing as a player. And Victor decided to join him. And they've both been real leaders on our team.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works out sometimes. And we've had that several times talking to coaches. Is, man, you know, I was over looking at this one guy, and all of a sudden I saw this other guy, and he caught my eye, and I liked his swing, and I liked the way he was playing game, and the way he handled himself, and lo and behold, he ends up on your team. It's interesting how that kind of stuff happens a lot, isn't it?
It really is. You know, it's not an exact science, but if you've been around it long enough, you know what you like to look for in players on your team. And there's a lot of good players in the world, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of sorting through. But when we get the right ones at Oklahoma State, they do well, and we do well.
So what are you looking at right now? You've got four seniors to replace. I mean, how was this year's class, and where did those guys come from?
We lose one starter from this year's team, and we have a boy coming in from Denmark for next year. Rasmus Nergard Petersen is his name. He's one of the best players in Europe, and we return four of the five starters. So we've got a great nucleus back, and we'll be looking to try to repeat next year.
All right, Coach. Well, before we let you go, you mentioned just a second ago about having your players emulate or look at or watch the best players in the world. If you had to pick out three players whose game, from top to bottom, the way they behave, the way they swing, the way they carry themselves, who do you think are your top three to emulate right now?
You know, I don't watch that much professional golf, but I'll stick with the Cowboys. I'll start with Ricky Fowler. I'll go Ricky Fowler, Peter Eli, and Alex Norn.
Yeah, I'm actually saying that I think, because, you know, the four majors right now are held by U.S. players, and I think Alex Norn is going to be the one that does that, interrupts that flow, and I actually think it's going to be at the Open Championship. For some reason, I'm getting a vibe out of him that the Open Championship is going to be the one that he takes the title.
We'd love to see that. There's not very many guys that work harder than Alex. My first year coming back to Oklahoma State after playing professional golf and playing golf at Oklahoma State and working at Ping, Alex was on the team. So I got to be around him for 1 year as an assistant coach while he was here. And nobody's going to outwork that guy. And he's been on a steady climb. Took him a while to crack into the top 50. And once he did, he really hasn't looked back. There's probably nobody worldwide that's won more than him in the last 2 years, or not very many for sure. And he just seems to be on a steady ascent and comfortable in himself and on the PGA Tour. And it's great to see him knocking on the door, and hopefully he'll knock down a win soon.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys that has kind of snuck up on everybody because, you know, he was on the European Tour, and he was there a lot before he started winning. And I don't think people realized how good he was playing. And I also think he's kind of sneaky long, and there's not really a hole in his game. A lot of times you say, you know, he's a great putter, he's a great ball striker, but he's not that long off the tee. I mean, and there just doesn't seem to be a hole in his game right now, does there?
That comes from his work ethic. Mm-hmm. He's passionate about golf and works his butt off, and that generally gets you results. And he hasn't tired of that. He hasn't lost any of the passion. He and Charles Howell are two guys that have been at it for a long time that, if you talk to them today, they would sound just like the 22-year-old version of themselves as far as their love for the game. And people have no idea how difficult it is to succeed on the PGA Tour and play at that high of a level consistently. And we're just really proud of all of our guys. But Alex, for sure, that hard work's paying off, and we're glad the U.S. audience is getting to see him week in and week out.
Well, Coach, congratulations on your team's victory, and you know what? Maybe we'll talk to you again next year when it happens again and you guys get a little closer to Houston.
Sounds good. We've never had a team win back-to-back, so our team gets a chance to try to pluck that off. It's not very often you get a chance to do something that an Oklahoma State individual or team has not done, and our team has that opportunity in front of them, but we've got a long way to go between now and then. We'll enjoy this win and get to work this summer.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.